Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the virtual studio by... What's your name again?
It's Producer Joe.
Producer Joe is right over there. How's it going? You look energetic today. You were sort of dancing about a bit during the intro.
Yeah. Just trying to get the energy up. I've not really done anything yet today. Well, I've been working, but I haven't sort of left my bedroom. So I thought I'd give you
haven't done anything today.
All of my pent-up energy.
You gave me a very specific time that I had to be back for. Does that mean you could have done it earlier?
No.
Why? What have you been doing? You've been doing other podcasts.
Always, Mark. That's always what I'm doing. And you know it. And we don't like to talk about it because it makes you feel quite upset.
Wow. Yeah. Best not talk about it. Julio, what have you been doing today?
Markmus.
No, you've already answered that.
Mark, have you done your Christmas shopping? That's what I want to ask you.
Yeah, actually, it wasn't mine, but you were waiting for a while for me to come into to accept the thing, and that's because Amazon just came and I had to go and hide my stepdad's Christmas present from my mum. I'm not hiding it from my mum.
No, because otherwise that's just quite cruel.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's like, where is it? I don't know. Bloody Amazon.
And then you address it to your stepdad. He opens it on the day and your mum's fuming.
But so it was bad. So Mike, when she was ordering it, she was like, well, what happens if it turns up when he's here? And she found a little thing that said Amazon would package it in Amazon packaging so that you can't see what's in it.
Yeah.
And I just opened the door and it's just in its normal box. So if he'd have seen it, it would have ruined Christmas. Christmas is already ruined. It would have further ruined.
He would have pretended.
What do you mean?
When he could have pretended not to have seen it, maybe.
Oh, yeah. But still ruined it for him, wouldn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. But anyway, I text my mum saying it's here and accidentally sent it to him, so he knows now anyway. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been texting about someone, but because that person's on your mind, oh my God.
There's no feeling like it. It used to be pretty easy to do on old phones, didn't it? Now it's quite tricky, I think.
Mate,
but back in the day.
There was a girl I really liked back in the day. And I'd seen her. And then she'd said something like, oh, I saw your friend. So I text that friend going, you saw her? Oh my God. I was like, cringing even thinking about it.
How old are you?
Now?
No, then, what?
Yeah. 20, like early 20s.
Oh man, yeah.
Oh, and I don't think I'd ever pursue it. I didn't pursue it anymore.
How often do you think about it? How often do you think about sending that text? Once a week?
Whenever this comes up.
Yeah.
So whenever I go to maybe send someone a text and they go, oh God, have you ever done that? Almost sent it and then realised that's exciting actually.
It's a real rush. I sometimes do it on purpose just to feel something. I write something really horrible to my boss.
Is that why you keep writing
the
horrible messages?
I just hover over the send thing.
Ah, awful. Yeah. Awful. A good observational comedian could do something with that, I reckon, as a topic. Yeah. It's a good topic for comedy.
If only we knew one.
Everyone can, Well, no, I know lots.
You know loads,
Was that a little dig at me? That was a little dig at me, was it? But it felt like a dig at me, but I'm not an observational comedian.
No,
so.
It was just sort of, I was just trying to fill the air.
Oh, that's just a hat. Just Oh, you can't see. I was just grabbing and trying to feel the air.
Yeah, good stuff.
Anyway, Joel, love it. Good chat today. Lovely. Shall we let them all listen to the episode this week? Oh, before we do,
that's what we're here for. Yeah,
I had a nice little response from last week. I told everybody that I'm doing a Zoom show on Sunday. Just trying out some bits. I've just went through it all. I'm a bit overwhelmed by the number of jokes and not knowing if they're good or not.
It's going to be four hours long.
It's not going to be 4 hours. It'll be about an hour, maybe a bit less. But you can just turn it off if you don't like it. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm not enjoying it, I'm just going to turn it off.
Just leave the Zoom.
But I had lots of people interested, but there's still a bit of room on the Zoom. So if anybody would like to watch it, it's on this Sunday, the 20th. At 7 p.m. Just find me online. All you got to do, find me online, send me a tweet or a DM on Instagram, and then send me your email address, and I'll just add you to the list, and you can come and watch, just as long as you behave yourself.
Have you got any jokes about Christmas?
Yeah, I've got a few.
Oh, good. Well,
I'm not going to tell you now, because we've got a Christmas special coming, dropping on Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
With Sean Walsh. So... I think I spoke about Christmas quite a lot in there, so there's probably the Christmas jokes there. Don't want to ruin them now, Joel.
Good. Well, hey, talking of Christmas,
hey,
for our guest this week's, it's always a white Christmas because it's Rob White.
I mean, that was forced.
It was, yeah.
It's Robert White as well, Joel.
Yeah, I did wonder. I saved it as Rob because I just, you know, like I'm his best mate. I actually saved it as Robbo.
Our dog. Yes, it's Robert White this week.
Yes.
And you've listened to it already, Joel?
I have.
Ah, how is it?
Good. He's really good.
It is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's lots of joke chat, isn't there?
Lots of joke chat, which that's what the people want.
Yeah, that's what they're here for, and that's what they're going to get. So let's listen to him right now. It's Rob White. Robert.
I forgot what you were doing, and at the last moment I went and found, because this is about like jokes which don't work and stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah, stuff that you've had to drop for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, so I've got a load of that sort of stuff you want, but this is cool.
Yeah, well...
Where are you, by the way? Because you look as if you're outside in the sun.
This
you look as if you're...
I'm in Spain.
Yeah. What is it?
So this used
you're
to
in
be
Spain.
No. This used to be.
Oh no, because you look like you're in Spain. My friend, do you know Pam St. Clements has moved to Spain after doing his send? Yeah, to join all the other expats. No.
This used to be outside. Oh, I just got it. Sorry.
All right, cool.
My extender's knowledge was from years ago, which is relevant for that joke, but I haven't used it for a while.
Sorry, I did an actual joke in a conversation when we were anyway.
No, that's what we want. I just Patson Clement. I was like, I feel like I should know that name.
Well, that's a joke that doesn't work,
doesn't it? And is that the reason?
Well, because of reference.
Yeah. So exactly, that was a live version of it not working when I was just I was thinking, Pat St. Clement, is that like a comic that I'm supposed to know?
Pam St. Clement plays Pat Butcher.
Pam St. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there we go.
Before we get on to jokes that don't work. Before that. So this used to be outside, but this is now a conservatory. So it's sort of, that's why it looks like it's outside, but it's technically not.
All right, cool.
And talking about bits that don't work. So... just on when you said you improvised for a full set, does that ever go wrong? And if it does go wrong, do you then change tact? Or because with the 17 minutes, were you just like, oh, this is working, I'm just riding this?
Well, things kept coming.
Yeah,
I think the thing, you've always got to have a place to go to. It's almost like you start off with something and you've got a place to go to, and when you first do it, it could be just like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to this guy, and then the punchline is going to be so and so. And what happens is you do it two times and you get it perfect. And then you do it for a year and more things are added in. And then you do it for like 20 years. And there's basically loads of different avenues you've attempted to go to that you can. And also you do genuinely improvise things now. Top Secret is a great one for that. And also, well, I love Backyard, and but I've even did it. The last time I did it at a 99 Club gig, which was quite, it wasn't sort of as comedy savvy audience as you'd imagine, but I was basically, things were coming. I was doing some genuine improvisation. I was doing some, so let me think of something recently. You know about a lot of what happens is someone says, tell me about your worst gig. And after you've been doing this for so long, you think there's so many worst gigs. It's, you can't, so I was just about to say, this is a brilliant example of where this has happened. But, you know, it's in the past. I've forgotten all of it. It'll come to me one day and I'll laugh about it. But, you know, it's the improvisation, just, it's built up of lines that you planned, lines that you found out, things which are generally improvised.
It's probably easier to improvise when you know you've got all those other options to fall back on, because there's less pressure. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the best thing I think about the sort of slightly cheat you've got about music is this. If someone says to you, for you to say a funny joke, you've got to come back with it instantly. If someone says something to me, I go. I've got a whole second.
Right. So that's the trick of when you're talking to an audience and you pretend you didn't hear what they said, but you did hear what they said. So you ask them to say it again just to give you a couple more seconds to think.
Well, I wouldn't do that because my mind, I don't think I could think those thoughts because hashtag autism, my mind is thinking about, well, this is a sort of related to when I first started learning about comedy and a lot of jokes didn't just go wrong because they were bad jokes, but because one thing about autism is I can't tell about context, and sometimes I'd say things which are slightly inappropriate because I just see the wordplay rather than the context. And the thing is, in a nutshell, Asperger's is no intuitive social skills, hard to read people, empathy, so lots of social skills. So if you imagine on stage, all the things that you would do naturally and without having to consciously think about, I'm actively having to consciously think about.
Right.
And the best way I put it is, if you didn't just stand on stage, but you had to imagine where your feet went, how you had to bend your legs, how you had to move your legs, how you had to adapt your, or everything to do with social skills, I'm consciously thinking through in the back of my mind, as well as doing the gig. And sometimes it's actually quite a struggle, particularly when I started. So this is why, you know, when I first started, not only did I not have those skills, but I was also trying to compensate for those skills. So a lot of things went wrong because of things which other people wouldn't experience. But anyway, you said a question there which led on to a different place. What was the question?
You've improvised your answer. So it was, I think it was something to, it was about, like, did it ever go wrong when you're improvising? And then do you
What goes wrong? This is the thing. If you've got a place to go back to, I think I did Edinburgh in 2014, and because it didn't go too well, I was disillusioned. And I said to myself, what you're going to do now is you're going to make it look as if everything is improvised. So for like, there was about a month where I'd bring the keyboard forward, and I'd start off literally just by making up a song about the audience. And instead of being introducing myself and then the improvisation being within my act, it would be my act would be within the improvisation, thus making it all look as if it was all totally improvised and on the spot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was ridiculously amazing.
Yeah.
I did it once, and Ritual was, he said to, you know, Mark Rothman, he said, how does he do this? I've been doing this for like 20, 30 years or whatever, and I don't know how I cut. And what it was because I'd got my set, and because I'd got my improvisation skills, and because on that day I got particularly lucky,
right,
and everything was just bang.
Yeah.
But for me, particularly if you do have issues with people and with understanding people, if you don't start off by giving yourself a place to go back to, sometimes if you get caught up, what can, you know, if things go wrong, you're not sort of, you know,
there's
you're
no
not operating. Yeah, well, yeah, there's no structure. There's no structure. You haven't got a place to go to. The improvisation only works if you've got a place to go to. When you look at musical improvisation, you're heading towards the cadence at the end chord.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just... Yeah, there's the functional harmony. There's the harmony going on. There's the chords going on. If you just played any random notes that you wanted over your chord progression in jazz, it would sound awful, even though lots of people think jazz does sound awful. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's a structure.
So
improvisation has a structure.
There was something I was going to say to you about Britain's Got Talent, that,
yes,
like a lot of the time, all the sets you did on there were pretty much always new material because you'd written songs specifically about the judges. So I was going to say, was that weird doing brand new material in that moment? But if you've been doing a lot of improv, that's always new material most of the time. So, did you try those bits out beforehand in clubs? Could you?
I tried those bits out before in clubs, and if you've got the more generic the joke is. In other words, if you've got a joke about someone who looks a bit butch, say if I was doing a joke about someone who's a bit butch, then you can find someone in the club who looks a bit butch.
Yeah,
you know, and then. But the more specific the joke's got, sort of like if I have to find someone, say if I was to do it this time and they've got like Ashley Watts's bloke who's sitting in Ashley,
Ashley Diversity.
No, this is Ashley Banjo.
That's it.
I should not say Watts's bloke. That's very disrespectful. And he's sitting in for Simon Cowell. And if I had to attempt to do a joke about him sitting in for Simon Cowell, so two very specific people, and I had to attempt to replicate that in a club atmosphere, that would not be, you know. So as the episodes went on and the jokes got more specific, it got harder.
Right. So would you but, in the but new material?
Some of it was tried. There was one genuinely improvised off the cuff line, which I hadn't planned to do.
Oh, what was that?
But all the other jokes were, well, basically I was going to say that Simon looked old and then do a joke about carbon dating. Yeah. And what the only sort of dating he does is carbon dating. Which is it's a funny joke, but not when delivered like sitting in your bedroom. this is to show that is the comedy me, I'm the jumper me, the comedy me. We're now intellectually discussing it, right? Because that's what I'm very conscious of. You probably aren't talk to people. And there's two sorts. There's probably number one who says, I've got all these really bad jokes, and then lists off a load of cracking jokes because they don't want to actually genuinely
this has
look
happened.
Bad.
This has happened, but my list is and the other, score.
I see. And we're just talking about things which go wrong. Yeah, so talk about things that go wrong. Yeah, so what happened was I could do this carbon dating joke and it basically hinged on me asking him his age and him saying his age. And he didn't say his age, so I had to then said he was so old that he couldn't remember.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
had you thought about that as an option?
No, which is quite a simple thing, but it's not so much of a simple thing if it's in the final of Britain's Got Talent in front of a few million people. Jesus. But we've all done that thing. We've all done that classic thing. I remember seeing like this new comic and his bit hinged on someone saying they liked IT. So he goes to someone, do you like IT? No, not really. Do you like IT? No, not really. Now, we both know that if someone says they don't like IT, we then go, that's okay, because I like... And then But this person was basically... He was waffling in numerous different ways to go around the audience to get someone to say they liked IT.
That's so funny.
Once
he starts doing that, nobody's going to say yes because they think you're going to take the piss out of them. So they would just copy the next person. So he's never going
to find anyone. It's such a new comedian move, I suppose. It's a failing
Oh, that's funny. But I was going to say, when you were doing, say, like you say, that the jokes got more specific, did you not... Mm. So when you're trying the jokes, as they're so famous, the judges, did you not sort of set out what you're practicing for? Or did you...
No. Because the thing is, the gig in the room is the gig in the room. Mm. And if I suddenly say, hey, you're so-and-so, you're so-and-so, you're so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, because I'd been told a story. I've forgotten who it's by. I think it might be Rob Rouse.
Okay.
There used to be a club called... I've forgotten what it is. It used to be a toilet, and they had new people trying out for stuff. And I think it was Rob Rouse who went on, and he said that he had to follow two other comedians. Comedian one was Lenny Henry, who was practicing for something, and he had an auto cue, and he went on, and he said to the audience, you're so-and-so, read everything off an auto cue. Right. And the audience just thought, well, we're here for this gig. We're not here for you. Mm. Yeah. And then the second act went on, and he had to practice for something. And he did his practice bit. But what he did was he sort of got the audience member who was there and altered the joke accordingly.
Mm.
And then after doing that, he said, all right, I've done what I have to do. Let's do 20 minutes of just having fun.
Yeah.
And the reason I think Rob Rouse was, so sort of like, about this is because the second act was Robin Williams. So in this tiny little new material, Lenny Henry tried it. So you saw someone do it, then you saw the master how to do it.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Rob Rouse who then had to follow both of them. I know exactly. I think one of the big failings that a lot of people do is they practice for a gig at a gig which isn't that gig. Yeah. If you go on a new material gig and you say to yourself, I'm going to practice just my Comedy Store 20 set, then you ignore the fact that there's four people in front of you who haven't really paid.
Yeah,
they want you to talk to them specifically. And they aren't invested in the night. You've got to do what's there. So whenever I was trying out, I'd alter it to, I'd say, I need someone who's old. Oh, hello. I need someone who's pretty, but not. And then I describe the qualities for the joke. And then I'd go, and I need someone who's pretending they're gay. There we go.
Yeah.
And people laugh hilariously at the fact that they might look as if they're pretending to be gay. And by that point, you've got all the four places you're going to.
And
with
those
jokes
hit, you know they will work in front of that bigger audience.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because surely
who knows
the joke,
anything ever?
But the joke is added. You get more because of who they are and that they're famous and you're sort of giving them a little...
Well, there's the other thing as well, because sometimes you're tempted to do jokes which are so specific that you think that must be an absolute banker.
Yeah.
But if you can't try it out beforehand, you've got no. I don't know if I'd have the bollocks.
Did you write any like that?
Well, I wrote tons and tons and tons. You know, things about their name and things about, you know, there was it was David, Amanda, Alicia, and Simon. Mm. It's an anagram of Asda, and and there were all these. I don't know. It's been so long.
Yeah,
there were things about.
You're right, in that audience as well. Anything too clever, I don't think would work.
Things that. Well, I wouldn't say that. That's, you know, I think Simon Says. There could have been things about Simon Says, and there were some plastic surgery type jokes, and
right.
Yeah, so it's all, yeah. So what you're, because you're ideally you're right, because frequently in office gigs, and we know when we go to gigs, jokes which are specific about the area or specific about people. I had this really very ridiculously bad joke that would never, ever, ever work. Ever. I wrote it when I was ridiculously new.
Okay. So this and was before then, you worked out you need to work out the boundaries.
You need to work out comedy. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And then I did a gig. There was a couple where he was Cornish and she was Italian. So the joke, which had never, ever worked because it had to be so specific.
Right.
Now was looked as if it was totally improvised at the top of my head.
Wow. So did your eyes light up when you heard where they were from?
Basically, you can possibly guess as we're going. It was, obviously you being Italian don't like his cooking because you're antipasti. So... like, that was, you know, one of those... jokes which otherwise would not be funny if it's in the moment.
It's in the bank. It's in the head.
I know, exactly.
That's funny. Because I've got loads of jokes where there's specifically even sports jokes.
Mm.
Like I've got a cricket joke that only works if there's a few people in it like cricket and it comes off the top of my head. But it's like I've got a joke about, I don't know if my friend's good at bowling, but he seems it. Now, that's a very specific sort of cricket bowling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just no one knows that. But when I first wrote it, I thought, oh, everyone knows that because I know it. But they don't.
I've done a few things with like music like that. I think I did what was it? It was, I've forgotten, but I'm obsessed about George Gershwin. I remember doing a Jewish gig and they was, you know, they said, obviously, they said, don't be racist, as if they have to tell you. But what they said was, because it was like a slightly, because it was specifically a Jewish audience gig, they said, just do what you do, but just be aware, you know, nothing's different, just be aware. And I got a guy on the front row. His name was something like Shmuley, but when he said it, it sounded like Smelly. So all of a sudden, in a Jewish gig, I'm thinking, what do I do with this? Because the audience laughed. Everyone else laughed.
Yeah.
And then popped into my head a reference to George Gershwin, because I'm obsessed with music, right. And I was doing a reference to I almost said, how come you haven't anglicized your name when George Gershwin anglicized his name, and he was born in 1937, born in 1898, and called Jacob Gershwitz Brusket. And you know, I was going into and I've forgotten what the joke is. I've forgotten what the joke was. But there was some joke about George Gershwin changing his name, which was a pun. And I thought, in a brief second, I thought of doing this obscurely specific piece of knowledge joke, which lots of people I've told on BBC iPlayer, there's a musical called The Gay Divorce, and they look on it going, oh, there's The Gay Divorce. And I go, it's The Gay Divorce. And they go, what? And I go, it's supposed to be The Gay Divorcee. BBC iPlayer have left the E off the end. So instead of being a musical about a happy bachelor, now it looks it's like a Fred Astaire musical about a gay couple that have broken up, which is a totally different thing. But I pointed it out at a few people and they go, you know, because that's down to...
Yeah, yeah.
...knowledge of musicals, isn't it?
So what have you got down joke-wise that you didn't get to
Oh,
work?
I've got loads of stuff.
Great, hit me. Let's tons. Do it.
Firstly, there's political viewpoints. I'm standing on stage and you say something and as if everyone will get that as, oh, yeah, particularly with Brexit.
Right.
You know, not that people are either for or against, but most audiences, no, I mean, not that any particular audience is one way or the other. Mm. It's more so the fact that people don't want to talk about it. So you can talk about it. You've got to be very political, but you can't just throw it in the middle of a comedian who's like all silly and punny and funny and stuff.
Yeah.
Or you've got to do it both sides. So...
work that stuff in, or did it just not fit?
Oh, I did a line about Nigel Farage, and then what would happen is it would all be it was a song about jeans, basically a song about I don't like jeans. How hard is that? All I want is skinny fit, but I'm too flabby and fat. Pause. Oh, audience, you haven't said I'm not fat. Shut up. Flashing used to be a sex crime, but now it's called low rise. And why has it got so much grip that I'm circumcised? In Primark, jeans aren't purchased, you just win them in a fight. Very tight jeans like Nigel Farage. The knob is pushing to the right. And I thought, ha ha, how funny. And then what would happen is, like, in it would be funny, but then in some audiences it would lose a few people or not. As, so then I did one about, yeah, because it's just, because to me it's a thing about Nigel Farage, and to some people it's like, oh, he's gone to politics.
You know, people, yeah,
all of a sudden he was doing about jeans. And then, yeah, so I did one about, then I did a line about Marks and Spencer's, being and Jeremy Corbyn. So then it was like, I've done one for each side. And then I did the punchline.
Yeah.
Did
that help?
Yeah. Mm. It's because it's balance. You don't want to be partisan. And my politics are very much, well, I'm left, but I'm middle left. I'm much more, whoever you mention, people hate you, but I'm much more sort of Gordon Brown. Oh, have I gone?
Yeah, you disappeared for a sec.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yeah.
There we go. Oh, pants.
There he is, he's back.
I said, I mentioned politics and the video doesn't like it. So I'm much more sort of like Tony Blair and John Major and the sort of middle ones rather than either side. My dad was... conservative, and he was sort of Margaret Thatcher's self-made dream, and my granddad was like a Welsh miner.
Right.
Oh, so at Christmas when I was young, right. Conversations basically, I thought Margaret Thatcher appeared at the Nativity, and until I was 12, I thought Jesus was born in Blynavon. But I'm sort of very much but both sides, but you sort of don't want to be, particularly if you're supposed to be a silly throwaway thing in the middle of a song, you don't want actually genuinely go to politics. I don't know if you have the same. Because you do puns and stuff, you must have a pun which is, oh, that's a brilliant pun. But it's, oh, it's political, and then, or it mentions, or it's religious, or it mentions a this, that, or the other.
Yeah, so I've done Mock the Week a couple of times, and so I've started writing more political gags just because, just so I'm well prepared. So I'll just see what's going on. And if I can get a generic joke on any politician, then that's great, because you can slip anyway. But I do
I've got a joke that doesn't work, a political joke which doesn't work.
What's that?
You can do, it's basically like, how many politicians does it take to change a light bulb? 3 David Camerons, 4 Boris Johnsons, and 1 Margaret Thatcher, although that's only a conservative estimate. And I've done it with various different setups and conservative estimate, and people go, yeah. I've also got another one, which was, I was sitting on a bus trying to make up clever material, but all I got was pedestrian observations. and people, no, it's like...
I don't even know if people know pedestrian observations as a thing, because that's something that people would write in a review of comedy. Oh, very pedestrian. But I don't know if average sort of Joe would know.
Well, I've got a theory. I don't know if this, because you're the pun king. I've sort of got, I was told that often it's to do with the image that they get in their head. So sometimes you can have a very clever wordplay, but if they don't get an image in their head, then that's not as funny as less clever wordplay, but they've got like a funny picture in their head.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and it's quite hard when you're writing so many jokes to sort of take a step back and try and work out which of the jokes put images in heads and which don't. Because you get to a point where you just keep writing and writing, and they're just all rolled into one, really.
Yeah. You do, and that's another problem, I think, with and I think that's another Asperger's related problem, where when you start being a comedian, you see everything as wordplay.
Mm.
Sometimes, because I'm not very good with empathy, and sometimes I'm not very good with context, I can, you start doing wordplay about this and that, you do everything, and you don't filter. An element is the comedian sort of gallows humour, in that because you do on stage a certain level when you're in the green room, although we don't ever have green rooms, but you know, we're in the when we're ever in the theoretical green room, you know, room behind, you know, space behind the bar where you have to stand. What we joke about is probably a slightly more edgy.
Yeah.
And if you multiply that by Asperger's, where you can't tell context. So I remember when I very first started, I was opening with a baby cancer joke.
Yeah.
Without realizing the context. Right. I literally just saw the wordplay. The wordplay was, this was like the very first joke I sort of opened with. This is, and the autistic thing is, I just saw the wordplay. I didn't see the, yeah.
And did someone work it out that that's probably not the best?
Well, someone came up to me and said, opening with a baby cancer joke, that's brave. And I went, oh. And it was, I will say it, because I just saw it as a silly pun, which is this. My sister's just had her baby euthanized because it had cancer. Now, that is horrific. That is horrific. No, this isn't the joke. What I'm saying is, I'm commenting on myself.
The fact that
I said that is horrific. But apparently the doctor didn't... apparently it was painless because the doctor put it to sleep with a single jab. Well, he didn't put it to sleep with a single jab. He knocked it out with a single jab and put it to sleep with a right hook. Now,
God.
you could do single jab, right hook.
Doesn't need
you don't even pain. Need the baby. No. You don't even need cancer. You could do single jab, right hook with... In fact, I've tweeted it recently as a vaccine joke.
Yes,
as my mum didn't like me laughing at her, because she said that her injection hurt, and I found it really stung. When I got my jab, well, it wasn't just a jab. First, it was a jab, and then she gave me her left hook.
Right.
You don't need baby cancer. What's going on? Why?
I wrote a similar one recently about having a boxing match with an anti-vaxxer. They keep dodging the jab.
All right,
yours is better, I think, because it's got the right hook adds a nice twist.
My second one is better, My first...
Yeah. Yes, not needed. It's absolutely not even relevant.
I've got no idea why.
I think it's when you just... start as well, you get a reaction out of the darker stuff. So it's sometimes I think you opt for that because you get some sort of... Even if it's an, it's a noise. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not sure because I don't read audiences in the same way. I think that was genuinely just a lack of empathy and understanding, which is another thing I've sort of had to learn. I've had to learn autistic things as well as comedy things doing it for 17 years.
Yeah, I wrote a joke the other day about I connected with an old friend and then right hook, but I couldn't get the funny into it. There was no real funny. And then
you connected with a friend,
I connected with an old friend. So you connect with a punch. So that that was the link. But it was just literally a thought. And then I was like, that's not funny. So
yeah.
Because also I think reconnect is what you would naturally say. I don't know if you ever really say I connected with an old friend, or do you? You definitely say I reconnected. But like, it just didn't have a funny element. Like, there was no funny image.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a different alternative, but all the different alternatives I'm thinking are so far away from that it's. But you do that, don't you? You think of things which are half jokes, which you can't make into a joke.
Yeah. Because you can make it really dark and then the joke be about who you're hitting, reconnecting. So that means if you reconnect with someone, you've been hitting them quite a lot and then you've reconnected again. But also, I don't know if that many people really would know that you say you connect with a punch.
I think connect is quite a specific thing, isn't it?
Mm.
It's also generic and specific in that connect, when you say it, is much more to do with internet. It's much more to do with conversation. And in boxing, it's a much more unknown term. The only way you'd sort of do it is either possibly from the other way around, when I've got a friend, an old friend who's a boxer. The other day he connected with me.
You're right, there you go. Yeah. The other day he connected with me. Yeah. Again, that to just be doesn't honest, sound like a right sentence.
No, in fact, no, yeah. It doesn't. No, in fact, in my head, I'm thinking the only way you can do it is if you were a commentator at a boxing match.
Right, yeah.
And in that context, connect means connect.
Right. Mm.
Whereas in other contexts, connect doesn't mean hitting with a boxing glove.
No, because my next thought then was I went to, so I used to be in a human centipede and
yeah.
I recently bumped into someone or something and we reconnected. So it was then, but then the human centipede, one, is a horrible image and two, not that many people know what that is. So again, that then, I mean, these were all in a matter of minutes. I went from one to the other I was like, nope,
yeah.
None of those. I mean, technically the human centipede one would technically works because that is more of a connecting thing than the boxing, I think. But I don't know what else you connect, because then I thought you could do it as conjoined twins.
Why do you need connect?
Reconnected, because you know, that's just a phrase.
All right.
You reconnect.
So is that how you do jokes? You look up a threat, you go...
It's just someone said something about reconnecting with someone and then I went, connecting, boxing.
All right, cool.
So I just hear something and then I go, maybe I can do something with that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Robert White!
Woo!
Hashtag Ooga to Robert White. There he is. Good stuff. Oh, great episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you do enjoy it, hit us up online. Let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Oh, Joel, we got a lovely review on Apple Podcast this week.
Read it to me.
Oh, hang on. It's nice. If you enjoy the podcast, or you say you've been listening to it for a while and you're like, oh, I like this podcast, let us know on Apple Podcasts. Go and give us a 5-star review. I'm not reading it all, Joel, because it's very long and it's very nice and it's a bit egotistical, isn't it?
Just read the last sentence then.
The last sentence? A highly recommended podcast.
No, the one before
that. You mean the one before that, don't you? The one that you're in. Is that the one you want? The second to last sentence.
That's the one I want to hear.
The episodes are bookended with chats with producer Joel, which are a bit dull, but the podcast's good. Not really. Which are warm and fun. That's what we are, Joel. We are warm and we are fun.
I'm very happy to be both those things. Those are good things to be.
Me too. Yeah. You don't be cold.
Which one's which? Are you warm and I'm fun, or?
I don't know, Joel. I think we're both, a bit of both. I think we're. Nice. And there's other stuff. But yeah, just go leave us one. That'd be nice. It makes our day. It'll make our Christmas.
I tell you how excited Mark was about this review. I actually got a text from him before 2 in the afternoon about it. You know, normally Mark doesn't really get out of bed for anything, but this review had him messaging at 8:32 in the morning, which is... I was worried.
That's too early for me. I woke up, I just couldn't sleep again. I don't know what it is. I'm going to go have a nap now.
Yeah, a bit busy day.
I always have a nap. I love a nap. I think it's my Spanish heritage. I'm not Spanish. What are we talking about? I can't remember what part we are. Are we?
I'll tell you what, podcast, Mark. If people are loving this, and I bet they are, they should head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark.
It's more Robert White.
Exactly, more Robert White. More of us talking rubbish.
Oh, there's loads of stuff there, and I think that at Christmas on Patreon we might have to release a nice little special bonus, but more on that next week. So good, lovely, and yeah, let us know if you want to listen or watch the Zoom call. It's just a call, it's a Zoom call, it's nothing special, lots of jokes, and these Zoom gigs will be really fun. So if you haven't seen a Zoom gig, come check it out, let us know. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Ooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.